Good morning, welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Melachim Aleph Perek Gimel. This is the Perek which deals with Shlomo's wisdom. So the Perek starts off, just in quick summary, the Perek starts off with the first marriage that Shlomo makes, and that is with Bas Parah, that he marries the daughter of Pharaoh of Egypt, and brings her back to David Melech's house, and they live by the wall of Jerusalem. In the meantime, we're told by Tanakh that there is no Beis HaMikdash at this point in time. People are sacrificing on Bamos. These are personal altars, and there is what's called a Bama Gedola, a great altar in Givon. That's really the state of affairs right now. Into this context, Shlomo, it says, Vayehav Shlomo es Hashem. Shlomo loved Hashem. And he went in the ways of David HaMelech, and the only thing that he maintained, which was the same as David, was that he was sacrificing on the Bamos. I mean, so he did not advance the cause of initiating the Beis HaMikdash at this point in time. Nonetheless, one evening when he went to Givon and he was by the big Bama, which was the main place where people used to sacrifice, he went to sleep and Hashem appeared to him in a dream, and he said, and Hashem says to him, you know, David was my servant. David served me, and now you're in his place. What is it that you would like? What would you? I'll give you anything you want. By the way, you have to stop here and think to yourselves: if you got a God grant like that, what would you ask for? What in the world would it be that if you knew 100% Hashem was going to give you, what would it be that you would ask for? Very difficult question. So Shlomo Melech answers very humbly. He says, "You know, David was my father, was your servant, and you allowed me as your servant to be in his place, and I'm among a huge nation. But the one thing I like is a leiv shomer." A hearing heart, lishpoite samcha, lavin ben tov lara, to help judge your people, Hashem, between good and evil. And Hashem was so impressed. It says, Vayitav hadavar b'nei Hashem. It was so impressive to Hashem, this matter in front of him. And he says, because you didn't ask for longevity, and you did not ask for riches, and you did not ask for conquering your enemies, I'm going to give you all of them. I'm going to give you a leiv shomer, and you're going to be successful in all these domains. And what happens is that Shlomo wakes up, and he realizes that this has come true, and he brings these sacrifices and makes a huge mishdeh for all his servants because of this. And what happens? The next thing that happens is a court case. This is the famous Mishpat Shlomo. I just want to put it out there that this is a unknown Haftorah of the year. This last section of year of Melachim Aleph, Perek Gimel, is the Haftorah of a particular parasha, which we almost never hear. I'm leaving it to you to figure out when that parasha is. Why is that we don't hear it this section very frequently? Nonetheless, what's the case? The case is that two Noshim Zonos, whether they be innkeepers or prostitutes, come in front of Shlomo, and they present their case. So the first one starts off and says, and she says that they were both living in the same house. They both gave birth. She gave birth one day, 3 days later the other lady gave birth, and they're staying in the same house. And it's only the two of them, and the lady who's talking says the other lady's child died, and at night she switched them. I woke up in the morning, and the child, woke up to nurse my child, and the child was not mine. It was not my child. The other one responds, no, my son is the living one, and your one's the dead one. I apologize. She says, your son is the dead one and my son's the live one. And so who is really the mother? How do you prove it? There's no genetic testing. What do you do? So Shlomo Melech famously says, well, quickly pass me a sword. We're going to split the child in half, and that's how we're going to sort it out. And the real mother says, oh, yeah, no, please don't do that. She said, rather give it to the other lady than kill this child, because she had a rechamim on the child. And the other one says, no, split him in half. And Shlomo Melech says, clearly you see who the real mother is here, and he gives the child to the real mother. And the conclusion of the parak is, Vayishmu kol Yisrael es ha-mishpat asher shafat ha-melech. Everybody hears the judgment that the king rendered, and they vayir'u b'pnei ha-melech. They became terrified, or they scared of the king. Ki ro'u ki choch vas elokim b'kibo alayisas b'mishpat, because he knows how to do judgment. That's the end of the parak. A lot of things to think about in this parak. Let's try to take away a few of them together. Number one is, why is that Shlomo Melech married this Bas Parah in the first place? Were there not any good Jewish girls around? So the Malbim says, well, this is a political consideration. Once you secure the country internally by getting rid of those who are trying to take the throne from him, the next thing he does is he secures the southern border. Why? A political marriage of marrying Bas Parah. We're going to see it's going to come back to haunt him later on. Is he allowed to marry her? So the Radak goes into details about this. The Radak presents a few opinions. It is clear, according to all the Mefarshim, that she converted. There's no question about that. The question is, does conversion help? Why should it not help? Well, in this particular case, she's an Egyptian, and the Torah has a mandate against marrying an Egyptian for a few generations. And if that's true, does conversion really help, or in this particular instance? That's one of the questions that is presented. Another question is this was a very, very successful time in Klal Yisrael's history. And historically speaking, this was a time where, in fact, some of the halachists questioned the Geirim at this time because it was so successful that maybe the reason that there was such a surge in Geirus was as a function of the success of Bnei Yisrael, maybe not necessarily for the correct reasons of coming closer to Hashem. And these are some of the questions which are laid against Shlomo in making this decision. Nonetheless, because it is complex in terms of the Mefarshim, it's clearly true that this was complex in real life too, meaning to say it wasn't a black or white issue what Shlomo was doing, not so simple to understand. Let's move a little further on. Why is that Shlomo Melech makes a feast? Why does he make a feast when he woke up the next morning? So the Chida points out that how did he actually know in the first place that this Chochmah actually come with him, you know, from the dream to reality? I mean, a lot of us would wish we woke up in the morning thinking we know much better than everybody else, but how does Shlomo really know that? So the Chida says, well, quoting Chazal, that when he went outside, he could hear the birds speaking, chirping, and he understood what they were saying. That's how far and penetrating his Lev Shomer was. In fact, Chazal said this is one of the sources for making a seum on completing learning. Why? Because Shlomo completed the learning of wisdom, albeit not via his own efforts. Nonetheless, this is one of the reason why we make a Mishnah when we finish learning as well. I think it is fascinating, as a personal note, that throughout all of the creation description in Bereshis Perek Aleph, it does not say Vayara Elokim Ki Tov after the creation of man. It just says Vayara Elokim Ki Tov after the creation of animals, and after the final 6 days, it says Tov Ma'od, that all of creation was very good. Very good, and the Chazal Darshan, that Ma'od means the Yetzer Hara. There was a mixed review of creation. Why? Because the jury is still out. Meaning to say, are humans good? Well, the answer is, well, it depends what they do with their lives. Isn't it interesting that Vayitav Hadova Beinei Hashem, Hashem was pleased with creation. He was pleased with humanity. Isn't it interesting that the way that we justify our existence, as Shlomo just does at this point in time, is being able to hear another person, in being able to care about Amcho Yisrael, about the people who are God's people, and looking after them. Isn't that interesting that this is when the appellation of Tov is appended to humanity? It took a little while, but nonetheless, this is an example of it, and it makes us think, how do we do that? How do we exemplify what Shlomo Melech is doing? Coming back to the Mishpat Shlomo at the very end, you know, there's all the famous jokes that go with this. You know, talk about the joke about the two mothers-in-law who have a child, and they bring in front of the judge. The judge says, "I'll pull out a sword," and the judge says, "I'll split the son-in-law in half." And the one says yes, the one says no. The one who says cut him in half must be the real mother-in-law. You know, all the terrible mother-in-law jokes, which are clearly not true. And that, you know, there's a Calvin and Hobbes about Calvin's playing in the garden, and he finds an earthworm, and Hobbes says it belongs to him, and Calvin says it belongs to him. So his father says, well, we'll split it in half, and Calvin says, let's go for it. Yeah, this is gonna be so exciting. So, you know, like, there's all the permutations and jokes about this. But what about it makes Shlomo Melech? What shows the wisdom of Shlomo so much over here? And what the Mefarshim point out is that Shlomo Melech was not trying to yield judgment. He was trying to understand, and that's really what it was. Because if you think about this, David HaMelech was also presented with a case where he was presented with a particular court case. There was a Isha Tako'is. We remember in Shmuel Bey's Perek Yudalad, where David HaMelech was presented with a case where there was a woman who was a widow. It was a fake case set up by Yoav that she had two children. Her husband died. She had two children. The one child killed the brother, and the family wanted to kill her remaining son. That was the case. And what should David HaMelech do? And David HaMelech rendered his din. But it's interesting that David HaMelech wasn't really listening. He wasn't really listening to the case. He was just shooting from the hip in terms of applying the judgment. Where Shlomo HaMelech doesn't yield or issue a judgment here. He starts trying to understand more. The way Chazal couched this in the Oitzar HaMidrashim is by saying the following story. They say that Shlomo and David were both presented with the same case. That there was a fellow who lended his another person an egg. And he said, you're going to have to pay me back this egg and everything that it yields. And a few months later, he came back to demand the egg. And the question was, how much value did the man lend to him? So David HaMelech applied the din and says, well, you have to pay for him a chicken because this would have turned into a chicken. And so you owe him the potential of this egg had in it. Whereas Shlomo HaMelech listened and said, you know what? From my understanding, he did a little more research. He found out that the egg was in fact a boiled egg, which means to say it could not have yielded any chickens. So Shlomo HaMelech, in his willingness to hear, understood what was really happening rather than issuing a verdict or just judging the case per se. What made the people scared when they realized this is that they realized that any nefarious activities, any double standards, any deceit that they were going to display was ultimately going to be seen through by Shlomo HaMelech. And this was because Shlomo HaMelech was able to first hear, then issue judgment. This ends our perek. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.